Welcome to our podcast, Hopes and Hiccups in the Participatory Research Journeys of Doctoral Researchers. This series of podcasts emanates from a project which has been exploring the experiences of postgraduate researcher communities across the university in relation specifically to participatory research. In our project, we wanted to better understand what PGRs at the University of Sheffield across all faculties and departments need in relation to developing, co-designing, and engaging in participatory research. As part of our three-part podcast series, the project team is joined by a small group of postgraduate researchers who have experience or an interest in participatory research. In this episode, we are focusing on some of the hiccups that can emerge in postgraduate participatory research, exploring the challenges voiced to us across our workshops with fellow doctoral researchers. In this episode, and in response to one of our key project research questions, we want to ask what and where are the barriers and challenges to undertaking participatory research for doctoral researchers in different disciplines, departments, and faculties.
To kick off, we want to take some time to reflect upon the definition and understanding of participatory research and ask, what does it mean to be participatory? We want to do this for reasons of access, to recognise the diverse ways in which people come to participatory research, and to highlight the contributions of our first workshop where we define this together. The working definition of participatory research that we use in PRM is that participatory research is an ethical, collaborative, and community-engaged form of inquiry that aims to make a real difference in people's lives. For many of us, regardless of our discipline, it involves working in partnership with communities, building equitable relationships, and transforming power dynamics that exist in research. At the beginning of our workshops with PGRs, we used a Mentimeter to explore participants' thoughts about participatory research. What is it? What does it mean? And what does it entail? Our participants' Mentimeter responses showed that participatory research is about a co-creation of knowledge. It's about thinking with, listening to, and understanding others. It's about bringing voices to the forefront in reflective, open-minded, and respectful ways. For others, participatory research must be inclusive, making sure that no one is left behind. It's about power redistribution, empowerment, and working in and with communities. Ultimately, participatory research is a collaborative endeavour which includes shared thought, working together, and generating and analysing data together.
Welcome, Khatoum, and thanks so much for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your doctoral research and its relationship to participatory research methods? So what have been the challenges, the joys, and the ways in which you'd like to direct your research going forward?
Thank you, Lauren. My research is it's looking at serious youth violence, exploring the family responses and the threats and consequences of the responses of youth violence has on the family, looking at where the family fits in. The research itself is a collaborative research with a charity that supports young people and their families, and it's community participatory research, where I have advisory group from the Unity team who are fully collaborating all the way from the beginning to dissemination, as it should be. Going forward, hoping that my research would obviously not just fill some of the gaps in the responses to youth violence, but to also help to work with communities that have been over researched or under researched, and giving their voice and their the changes to the responses to youth violence coming from the communities, specifically the families and the young people.
Brilliant. Thanks, Khatoum. I mean, obviously, it's a really important topic, but what's kind of been like most important to you and kind of what have been the challenges or the kind of the bits that have been most valuable to you and what's been important and things to sort of celebrate through working together with your partners?
What's been challenging is, and in many research involving communities, it's the that we have to take ethics in research. We have to think about how communities are involved in the research. For me, the challenge is I'm both an insider and outsider coming and researching my community, wear many hats. So my challenge is the loyalties that community members have, and also trying not to be complacent and actually making sure that it's them that hold the keys to search in terms of their voice being given, the constant kind of undoing the historical social harm of research to minoritized and marginalized communities. The delightfulness of doing community participatory research with community that knows you is the key of the entrance key. It's also the fact that I understand the culture, the tradition, the religion, and also the politics surrounding migration and different policies coming in. So discussing that, and we're having different constant communications about other things. And those other things are not unimportant. They are really important and vital. So it's really delightful to be working with young people who are also shaping this research with me.
In our first workshop, exploring the challenges or hiccups of participatory research for PGRs, we set a series of collaborative activities. First, trying to define participatory research and how we do it, and then setting about to do something a little bit more creative, where we thought about our research as a plant and or animal with the principles of participatory research in mind. And then we took some time to think about the conditions necessary for them to thrive. We were inspired by this method by the Method Zoo, hosted by the Methods for Change team at the University of Manchester. Our reflections revealed to us the nuances of participatory research through many thought-provoking metaphors of the various animals, plants, and the conditions they need to thrive. Our participants discussed participatory research in practice through the images of building a nest, nurturing a sunflower from its inception, and spinning a web as akin to building a collective understanding using various methods, theories, and drawing from various disciplines. Through the image of an elephant and a dog, they highlighted the importance of trust in building relationships with communities as being central to the process. Like bees and ants, the collective effort required in this research was celebrated, challenging the dominant narrative of individual knowledge production in mainstream research environments. It was interesting to hear how the relationality of participatory research engages with time and speed, like a stone soaking up nutrition over time, to emphasize and appreciate the slow process for reflection, trust building, and the invisible labor of love and care for the communities. Drawing on the colorful and shape-shifting nature of the chameleon and the sphinx, the need to be creative, flexible, and adaptable while working with communities within institutional limits illustrated these nuances beautifully. We reflected upon the structural contexts and expectations, hierarchical norms about ways of knowledge production, and extractive processes of the university as hostile environments that endanger our animals and plants, which greatly resonated as some of the hiccups we face as PGRs along the journey of using participatory research. To further illustrate these ideas, we have our doctoral researchers joining us today. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. We would like to ask all of you as PGRs to share your key reflections from the workshops, and in particular, your main reflections on the key challenges or hiccups of doing participatory research as a doctoral researcher.
And I think for me, one of the kind of key hiccups for doing this type of work as a PGR is kind of marrying up what feels ethically and morally right for me as an individual and the type of research that I want to do, and sort of negotiating that with systems that aren't really built to deal with that. So how do we get access to funding to help out to pay our co-researchers? How do we get good opportunities and make sure our work feels reciprocal and things like that? I think that's one of the major hiccups that I felt with my own work, is how do we get these systems that aren't designed to fit together to actually fit together, is one of the kind of key reflections that I took back from the workshops that we were doing.
I can come in. I agree with funding. That's one of the hiccups, one of the challenges, isn't it? For me, is being a community leader and somebody who's known in the community is where blurring the boundaries is an issue, where I'm hoping that participants are responding to me, not out of their loyalty, but out of the fact that they're actually part of this research and they are doing, they're highlighting some of the issues with me. That's because this community that I'm researching with have been over-researched, but also underrepresented in owning research. And so it was really great to be in the workshop, share that, and also share some of the obviously concerns on the blurring boundaries issue. So wearing too many hats sometimes can blur the boundaries. So that's it's a challenge itself.
I'd agree with both of those. I think particularly the point about the sort of PhD structure, you know, the conventional PhD structure doesn't encourage opportunities for a lot of participatory practices. That's not to say that it's not possible. There is lots of great work being done, as we've heard. But I think, you know, researchers wanting to do collaborative or participatory projects have to work extra hard to navigate and weave around the current expectations or setups of these kinds of PhDs. Some of the challenges at PhD level are quite similar to the more general challenges of doing this kind of work. You know, like funding, time constraints, for example, which have been said, but, you know, and like complicated ethics applications, etc. But what's unique, I think, is that the impacts are sometimes felt more acutely or differently at PhD level because of the particular time and funding constraints PhD researchers are under. And, you know, precarity, and also the fact that, you know, PhDs are being examined for a degree at the end of the day. And I think, you know, the support needed might differ slightly. In terms of my own reflections and some of the things that we talked about in the workshop, you know, the linear timeline of a PhD, you know, first year, there are set things you need to do. Second year, you do your fieldwork, whatever that looks like, data collection. And then third year, you write up and submit. There's an assumption that the relationship with local contacts and identifying research questions and designing the research, you know, that's going to be beneficial for the community. There's all a sort of an assumption that that has been done prior to starting a PhD. And I think building these things into PhD projects is a really good way to do that. And again, this is even harder for PhDs, researchers who, like myself, have come straight from masters and might not have existing links with community structures, or, you know, might not know about these kinds of methods or have been taught them during their masters. So I think, you know, it's about, you know, how we support those students who are interested in that kind of research. And also, yeah, linked to that, the pace and timing of a PhD project is in some cases pre-decided. You know, you can't really negotiate this, and you can't sort of craft that together with co-researchers or research partners, which I think is quite a challenging obstacle.
Picking up on what Summer Bryony said there, I think that one of the kind of really unique challenges about doing this at PhD level is that perhaps if you're a more established academic, you know who to go to ask the questions. And I think a lot of the time as a PhD student, you don't necessarily know, one, you might not know the institution, or two, even if you do, you might not know who to ask in the institution to help answer the questions to, you know, find out how you do this, that or the other with your PhD. Whereas if you were perhaps a further down the line in your career, you would have maybe hit those barriers before and kind of be used to doing it. I kind of feel like I make a nuisance of myself all the time by just constantly asking questions. I'm being nosy in the department, but it's because I've never done it before and I don't know how to negotiate it any other way other than kind of asking for help. I'd have to say they've been very forthcoming and supportive, but I'm fully aware that everybody might not have the same sort of experiences in terms of receiving that support. And then kind of my other hiccup actually was, it picks up again on some of the stuff Ryan was saying, where that it's not only does your PhD, I think the timeline is completely different to some other people, your peers who may be doing PhDs at the same time as you, because you're, and that can lead to kind of feelings of frustration that you're not where you should be with things, and that can be quite difficult to manage. But I think we underestimate the kind of toll that participatory work, especially with groups that may be considered, you know, more hard to reach or vulnerable, can take emotionally on us as PhD researchers especially. And if you're trying to kind of balance that alongside all of the kind of other labour that's involved in a sort of more traditional PhD, I think that requires a great deal of support of people around you who get what you're trying to do, not just within the institution, but also having kind of good support networks at home or with friends or colleagues or whatever as well. And I think that PhD students who are thinking about taking on participatory research need to kind of stand at their ground and know that that's what they want to do, but also have that support around them to allow them to do that as well, because recognizing that it does take that toll emotionally is important.
That sort of standing your ground point, I think, is something that I struggled with personally during the first year of the PhD, trying to explain or justify during a confirmation review, you know, I actually don't know what I'm going to find. I don't know what this is going to look like until I've, you know, gone into the field and spoken to people and, you know, made my connections. And that was really tricky. And I felt like at that point, sort of in the May of first year of the PhD, if you're doing it full time, that I was doing it wrong, or that I should know all of these things beforehand. But realizing actually now, particularly, you know, speaking in networks like this and in the workshops and the participatory research network, that actually it's fine. It's okay.
But having people acknowledge that that's okay and say, like, I'm in the same boat is really helpful, I think. And I think that's why things like the participatory research network are really useful, because you can see people who have been doing it for longer, but they've kind of got there as well. And you think, okay, I just need to sort of breathe, relax. It will happen. It's just not necessarily going to happen in the same sort of time frame that it's going to happen for people that are maybe doing statistical analysis as part of their PhD or whatever.
I agree with all of you. I think we're expected to know everything, and we don't. And that's the thing. You're coming to on board and working with communities that seldom heard communities, that, you know, we want to highlight, you know, the difficulties and inequalities, and we don't know where to start sometimes. So, yeah, I think time constraints is an issue that we discussed, and I think it's something to think about, really. Yeah, I agree with both of you.
In our second workshop, we co-wrote a letter to a prospective doctoral researcher. What is one piece of advice you'd like to share from our letter to our listeners and that is meaningful to you?
So the words of wisdom, there were so many of them. It was really great. One thing that I would say is, don't be afraid to say, I don't know. It's okay not to know the aspects of community. You're learning with them, you're researching with them. Obviously, you care. That's why you're doing community participatory research and involving communities. And it could be daunting, but it's okay to accept, to say the things that you don't know. You're learning together, you're driving your research together. I don't like using the word brave. We're all brave when we were born, but it's just that we're learning our communities and we're learning with our communities. And so it's okay not to know.
In today's episode, we've focused on the hiccups and challenges of postgraduate researchers who are involved in or committed to participatory research. We've reflected upon the hiccups in the journeys of doctoral researchers, such as conflicting expectations of undertaking participatory research in the confines of institutional PGR processes, and how that can create invisible labour, problems with ethics processes, and the question of what outputs can look like in non-normative research spaces. We agreed that we need time to reflect, spaces to connect with one another across disciplines, along with spaces for unlearning. We also agreed that we need multiple forms of support for the process and acceptance as ways to overcome such hiccups. In our next episode, we'll build on these conversations to focus on the hopes and aspirations of PGRs in doing participatory research. We'll talk about the mechanisms needed for support, as well as thinking about our wish lists for participatory research in the future.
Thank you for listening. We'd like to thank all of our research participants and collaborators. This project has been supported by the University of Sheffield Research Cultures funding and is part of the Participatory Research Network. To find out more, you can visit our website or follow us on Twitter at PRNTUOS. Each of the podcast episodes has a full English transcription available on the website.